Great to have your company once again for Lorna Parker here on WLR. Hope you're enjoying all the sunshine at the moment. We have another busy show for you between now and 7. The County Senior Hurling Championship throws in this weekend. Can anyone stop Ballygunner from completing 12 in a row? McDara McDonagh of the Dungarvan Leader is here in studio to preview the first round action. The Waterford Minor Ladies football team are through to an All-Ireland final. Manager Fiona Crotty-Laffin and forward Abby Fitzpatrick will tell us all about Wednesday's dramatic semi-final win over Armagh. While later in the hour, Aileen Wall of Ballymacarbery and Trish Kelly of Cumber Rangers will speak to us from the launch of the 2025 Ladies Football Championships.
Ball breaks to Dizzy. Dizzy on the 20-metre line. Now he's on the 13. Dizzy takes a shot. What a rasper. What a goal by Dizzy Hutchison. He's got some brilliant scores this season. But my God, that was a brilliant finish. He hasn't scored a goal this season. He's got 8 points in play. That's a super score by the Ballygunner master. Dizzy Hutchison, the goal at 23 minutes. It's Kevin Mahoney against Luby. He's gone away from him. He's gone in on goal. Luby against him, a chance to Dizzy. Dizzy with a shot. Power puts his body on the line. Second brilliant save by Lawrence Power. Looked a certain goal, but the ball is still with Patrick Fitzgerald. He'll go for the juggler. Takes his shot. Back at the net this time. Patrick Fitzgerald, give Lawrence Power no chance. Back at the net. It's all over. It's all over. Ballygunner are county champions for the 23rd time. They've made history. They've won 11 in a row, 228 to 210. They led half time, 115 to 5 points. No stopping the Gunners, as hungry as ever.
Yes, and Ballygunner will be hungry for 12 county titles in a row this summer. The race for the News and Star Cup gets underway on Saturday afternoon. And McDara McDonagh, GA writer with the Dungarvan Leader, is here in studio to preview the campaign ahead. And McDara, nowhere else to start other than with the weather. It's absolutely tropical out there at the moment. Great weather for the start of the championships.
Absolutely, and the balls will be fairly flying it now when it's a quick ball, of course, which will suit the skillful teams and the young teams and the fast teams.
Will there be any case for water breaks this weekend, considering the conditions?
Well, do you know what, now that you said it, it wouldn't be a bad idea, because there's fair heat now if you're playing, and there are matches at half two, like on both days, when it's going to be very hot. I mean, tomorrow's the hottest of all, so that wouldn't be a bad idea. No, I don't know whether, it's interesting, I must ask some referee, can referees do that off their own bat, or do they arrange it with the managers beforehand? But I think it would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's
even one in each half.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's warm here in the studio. It's going to be warm out in the field for these matches over the weekend. It's a new season, Mac, and also a new structure as well. We have two groups of six. The top two teams will go through to the quarterfinals. The other four then will all go through to the preliminary quarterfinals. What do you make of this new format?
Very little, to be quite honest with you. I've written about it. I think it's crazy, because if you finish bottom of the group having lost your five games, and then you play your preliminary quarter final, you lose that, that's six. And then you play a relegation semi-final the following week and you lose that, that's seven. And then you get your act together and you win your eighth game and you're back senior again next year having lost seven games. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So you're getting too many opportunities, Mac, very little jeopardy in that system.
Completely. And I mean, and I'd say you will have a club or two who might say, look, we'll get it right towards the end, and you know, and get one match right and they survive. No. If you lose seven matches in any competition, you should not be playing in that competition.
No, it's hard to argue with that. And there's also a new manager in the county champions, Ballygunner. Mac, Jason Ryan has taken the reins after losing the Munster final to Sarsfields last winter. What shape are they heading into this year's championship?
Well, there's always, you see, when any championship starts, there's always a couple of questions to ask. You know, who's fit, who's injured, who's in America, who's not, who's in Australia, who's back from Australia. And there are some players who have come back from Australia. I'm hearing Jack Fagan will come back from Australia. He'll be available for De La Salle. Cormac Curran is back. I think he could be available for the Brickies. And there will probably be more. And there'll be some other clubs who'll be short a player or two for the first couple of rounds. So there's always a bit of the unknown about the start of any championship. Look, Ballygunner are still the standard bearers. You know, there's no question about that. Barry Coughlin, I think, is not playing senior with them anymore. I think all the rest of them are there, and until they're knocked, they're top of the perch.
They certainly are. And you mentioned Barry Coughlin there. He has decided to step away this season. Mac, who do you think is going to replace him in that full-back position?
That's the $6 million question, because maybe in the past that they would have neglected putting on subs really until the match was well won. So, I mean, it's because of that, there's that bit of uncertainty because Barry was always there. So, you know, and now Aaron O'Neill could get that spot, but has Aaron played in a while? But the advantage of this, of the group setup, is that you can try a player out and he can get a few games under his belt then and settle in. He would seem to be probably the maybe in pole position, but then look, we'll know tomorrow.
We certainly will. Abbeyside Ballinacourty, runners up last year, Mac, are they capable of mounting a challenge this time around?
Again, we'll see. The odd rumour emanating that they haven't been going too well, they've suffered a couple of heavy defeats in challenge matches, but no, that's not necessarily a great yardstick to using either. But can Abbeyside build on it? They got to a county final a couple of years ago and they failed to build on it. I think the following year they're in relegation, if I remember rightly. There's a couple of years back now, so if they can build on it, they can build on it. No, I'm hearing they may have Neil Montgomery available to them. All right, he wasn't available for the county team, a big addition as well. And let's see. It's always, you know, it's hard to predict the first round big game until the teams are actually out, but they have it's a tough one to start with.
Yeah, it certainly is. Looking at the rest of the chasing pack, McDowell, before we get into the fixtures, which other clubs could pose a challenge to the Gunners this season?
Well, on a given day, De La Salle can, but De La Salle are a bit inconsistent. Like, if I remember, it was a quarter final they played Ballygunner last year and they gave them bags of it for quite a while before falling away towards the end. And if Jack Fagan is back, he'd be a big addition to them again. There probably would be, just looking at them here, Mount Sign, no, it'll take Mount Sign another while, I think. There's good young players coming, particularly in those, that minor team, like, but it might take them a little while to get good. Passage maybe slipping a bit, from the highs of is it 12 years ago now since they won that county final?
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Dungarvan, Pat Corden got into Dungarvan there, so that will be interesting to see. Can he get a tune out of them? If anyone can, Pat will be very interesting. I'd be interested to see how Lismore fare this year. You know, they have players, and you know, they did reasonably well last year, and so I watched them with interest. 4 Mile, if reports are true, not going very well. Not sure about Ferrybank, did they overachieve last year or did they underachieve? They certainly were full value for remaining in it. Clonay and Brickies, now that's an interesting one because we don't know how Clonay are fixed. And we don't know how the Brickies are fixed, but the Brickies have got some players back, so they have a stronger panel now than they had last year. And you know, when you win, even though there's a gap between your Premier Division and your senior, when you win any county title, you have that bit of a lift that it gives you for the first couple of games of the following year, if you can make the best out of it. And the last team then, I suppose, is Roan Moore. Some of the parts are Roan Moore, but I think Roan Moore's chance may have slipped. They'll love me for saying that now in the club.
Yeah, that'll give them plenty of motivation, certainly, for the weeks ahead. McDara, 4 games on Saturday, a doubleheader in Welsh Park to get us started with. Group A, we have Passage versus Mount Sion, a 2:30 throw-in. In terms of Mount Sion, like, all eyes once again will be on Austin Gleeson, like, only made 4 substitute appearances for Waterford this summer. How important is a strong club campaign for him?
Well, I'd say it's crucial. If he wants to be featuring for Waterford next year, he has to show in the club champion that he can do it, because he didn't have any opportunity to do it really in the Waterford colours this year, because they only went on towards the end of the game and really made little impact. So if for Austin to be considered next year, he has to show his club form, and he's capable of doing it. He has done it in the past, but will he do it now? That's the question. We'll find part of the answer to that tomorrow.
Passage surprised many, Mac, by making the semi-finals last year. How do you think they'll get on this time around?
Well, the Passage will build their team around Mark Fitz, who's the best defender in the county. You know, and any time you have a player like that at centre-back, it's a huge advantage. Maybe they're not getting the enough of the young players to come. A lot of their lads now who would have been there, they still have 1 or 2 survivors from 13. So the age profile could come against them in that. You know, you need to have your influx of youth coming all the time. They'd have 1 or 2, but maybe not enough.
Who do you fancy in this one?
Toss a coin, Mount Sion.
Yeah, it's very, very tricky making first round predictions. Then we have Dungarvan versus Ferrybank. It has a 4:15 throw-in in Welsh Park. No Michael Coyley for Dungarvan, Mac, he's over in Sydney. How much of a loss is he?
Huge loss. And I don't think our lines will be available for the first couple of matches either. So that's, you know, that's two gigantic losses. And certainly a couple of weeks ago, reports were that training wasn't going that particularly well. Now, Pat Curran's after stepping into the breach. And like I've said before, Patrick gets a tune out of them. If Ferrybank play as they did last year, and I saw them a couple of times, I think Ferrybank will win that, but we don't know how far Ferrybank how they'll do. I know when they won the Premier Intermediate, was it the first year, that they lost something like seven or eight players the following week. Now, will they have some of those back? They might have. But if they play like, if Ferrybank play like they did last year, I'd Ferrybank as favourites for that.
Very, very interesting indeed. And then continuing with the Saturday fixtures, we're going to move to Group B. We have Clonay versus Bricky Rangers at 6 o'clock at Troin in Leamy Bryan for this one. Looking at Clonay, Mac, no Jason Gleeson for them. He's transferred to St. Peter's Dunboyne in Mead this year. How much of a loss is he to the Clonay side?
He's a loss, yeah. Billy Power, I suppose, will be back from Dubai. He should be available for them. But in the early stages, he won't be there later on unless they fly him home. On the grounds that they would have that bit of senior experience, you'd be inclined to go for Clonay there. But I wouldn't rule out the Brickies there now. And again, it's because of the first round. There's a shot in the dark. We left out another one, Lismore and 4 Mile as well.
That's coming up on Saturday as well.
If reports are true about 4 Mile not going particularly well. The man who told me now, he knows about the club, but he tends to go with the old Bale Bucht sometimes. So maybe, but again, I'd been trying to fancy Lismore there.
Right, yeah, that Lismore 4 Mile water has a 7:30 throw in Capoquin. Like Jamie Barron was on the shining lights of Waterford's season, Mac, inter-county wise, can he carry that county form into the club season?
Well, he can, because he has had an injury-free year this year, and that makes all the difference, really. You know, he was absolutely, you know, Waterford's best three players this year were Stephen Bennett, Jamie, and Mark Fitz. Simple as. And he really was. Be interesting where they play, and they might play him centre forward again, because that's where he played for Waterford, and he played well there. Like, the, you know, 4 Mile should be doing. They have, you know, they have a cohort of players on the senior. They've Jamie, they've Sean Welsh, Conor Gleeson still would be there if he hadn't packed it in. They have Pat Ryan or the full
Pat
forward
Welsh.
Pat Welsh. So they should be doing that bit where they've. Names are slipping me now. Alzheimer's coming in, but if it might take 4 Mile a little while to get going, but if they get up ahead of steam, they could be formidable yet. But maybe in this one, Lismore just might take them.
Just skipping back to the Clonay versus Brickies, it's a big night for the Brickies, like back up from Premier Intermediate. Like, which players should we look out for on their side?
Well, you would have Killian Ryan, you'd have Peter Cummins, the two of those particularly, I suppose. You'd have Sean Lennon midfield, Cormac Curran is there.
Tom O'Connell on the extended panel.
Tom, of course. I should have mentioned Tom. When we saw Tom last year on his own, win games for them. So, I mean, as I said, that could be arguably the most open one of the weekend.
Certainly could. Looking to Sunday then, Mac, Group B. Repeat of last year's county final, Ballygunner versus Abbeyside Ballinacorty, 2 o'clock in Welsh Park. 18 points was the difference in last year's final, as we heard there. How will this one turn out?
Well, a lot of us were accused last year of writing off Ballygunner, so I'm not writing off Ballygunner. Ballygunner will win this game.
Very good. And how do you think they'll approach the group stages, Mac? Might they mix up their team for some of the earlier rounds?
Well, as I said earlier on, like, they didn't really utilise subs last year, and then when a situation came where they were short players, there was a bit of uncertainty, because putting on a sub with 10 minutes to go when you win the game by 13 points, you're learning nothing about the sub, and the sub is learning nothing about competitive hurling, because the game is won and he's not been put under any pressure. So we might see a difference. It's a different management, and different managers, different styles. Fergal Hartley's in there as well with Jason, so it will be interesting how they get on. But look, they still have to be the favourites, and they're going to be the favourites. They're going to be the favourites all year. We won't be writing them off at any stage. Maybe they might have come back to the pack a small bit, but has the pack slipped accordingly the other way?
Dizzy Hutchinson lost his place for Waterford, Max, towards the tail end of the Munster Championship. Will he have a little bit of a point to prove now over the next couple of weeks?
Of course he will. All good players have that. And as they say, the form is temporary, class is permanent. So I'm sure Dizzy will have, he'll want to show the county management and all other supporters that he hasn't lost it yet.
Certainly will. And De La Salle versus Rowan Moore then is the second part of the doubleheader, Mac, 3:30 throwing in Welsh Park. What do you expect from both of these teams this year's championship?
Interesting to see what lineouts they'll have, particularly De La Salle, I suppose. Mm. You know, that's another pretty open one as well. Who gets the run? I think Rowan Moore last year, if you remember, when they were playing Passage, they were very confident they were going to get into a semi final. They got caught by Passage. Now have they recovered from that? And you know, if they set themselves well, they have a structure that they play. It's a short game. It's a sweeper game. It's Billy Nolan's out the centre, and it's kind of a short possession game. And it's effective. You know what they're going to do, but it's difficult to counteract it. Another interesting one, that one now. I'd sit in the fence, draw.
And Mac, in terms of your predictions, your county champions come September?
You still have to say Ballygunner. Mm. You know, you have to say Ballygunner because until they're beaten, they're going to be the favourites.
They certainly are. And just a quick look at the Premier Intermediate Hurling Championship, Mac, that's thrown in this weekend. We have two groups. Group A, we have Afan, Cappoquin, Turin, Portlaw, Tramore, Ballysaggart. Group B then, we have Shamrocks, Ballygunner, Tallow and Clashmore, Kinsale, Beg as well. That the top team in each group goes forward automatically to the semi-finals. Who's going to be the main title contenders in this year's Premier Intermediate?
Looking at Group A, you, with the three boys, you'd say Ballysaggart. You know, they've done it time and time again. Now Portlaw will get a rub, like I said earlier about the Brickies. Portlaw won the intermediate last year, won it well. That'll give them a boost, and they'll come up. They had no Munster campaign either, so they'll be anxious to go. And you always get that bit of energy that you get from winning. For me, Ballysaggart top there, second place. I would say between a fan, Cappoquin, Turin and Portlaw, maybe Tramore might get to go on a bit harder there.
And in terms of Group B, then.
Well, you'd have to say Ballygunner again the favourites because of the playing resources they have. Mm. And it'll be interesting to see. They'll play blip matches in the early rounds, and then will they maybe arrest a few players towards the end like they did last year? Tallow are down, and Tallow have trained very well. Sean Prendergast is over Tallow, and I think when Tallow take on Ballygunner, that could be a very interesting match. And that'll tell us a bit more about who Ballygunner have. And I'd say, but do you know what? That's quite an even group. Shamrocks are missing a few players, all right, whether they're back or not. Clashmore, the age profile just might catch up with Clashmore. It might. It mightn't, but it just might.
And last of all, Mac, it's going to be a very tricky All-Ireland Hurling final for Waterford supporters. Who do you think is going to lift Lee McCarthy in the end? Will it be Cork or Tipperary?
Well, I've said this to a number of people, so I'm going to say it here. It's like a match between Israel and England. You don't want to see either of them in it. Cork are probably the favourites, but Tipperary in a lovely position going into it because there's no pressure on them. No pressure on them whatsoever. And, if Cork seemed to thrive on early goals, and if the Cork get early goals, yes, you'd say Cork all the way. But if they don't get early goals and the Lauren goes on that they don't have scored an early goal, it'll fall in Tip's favour. The lack of experience might come up against Tipperary. You'd have to say that Kilkenny were most un-Kilkenny-like with a lot of the mistakes they made. I mean, the last 1-3 the Tip scored were a result of handling errors by Kilkenny that they don't normally make, and with an extra man, so it was a disaster for Kilkenny. But then Dublin were on the day just very poor. So, you know, how good are Cork as well? For me, Cork the favourites slightly, but I don't care who wins the most.
Very good. McDarren McDonagh, GA writer with the Dungarvan Leader, thanks a million for dropping in studio today.
No bother.
Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So the Waterford Minor Ladies football team are through to the All-Ireland C Final after a 1-point win over Armagh on Wednesday night. They will now take on Westmead in the decider on Saturday, July the 26th. Earlier in the week, I caught up with manager Fiona Crotty-Laffin as well as forward Abby Fitzpatrick from Nadesha, and Fiona is delighted to see her team make the All-Ireland.
Gosh, look, I couldn't have been prouder now, in fairness. I mean, we've got, this year, we've just got a fantastic bunch of girls. And, you know, and I don't say that lightly. Like, I mean, it's not just the talent, but it's their character, their work rate, and the belief they have in themselves is just unreal. And they've bought into everything we've asked them to do this year. And that says a lot about their character as well. So they've given us everything. And last night was just unreal, unreal. There was immense heat. The tempo of the game was just unbelievable. Credit to Armagh, they were a very, very tough side. And look, you can never underestimate an Northern team. They always come with fires blazing. And, you know, you could see last night that both teams really, really wanted this win.
You mentioned character there, Fiona. Like, I believe the team got off to a very slow start, but still managed to overcome that in the end.
Absolutely. I suppose, look, last night was so warm, and, you know, travelling up yesterday, we left Dungarvan at 1 o'clock yesterday, so you're on a bus in that heat as well, and you're getting up to Dublin and getting out and realising you have to go out onto that pitch, and it was a long journey up as well, you know. But look, you know, we knew that the girls had the belief in themselves. We knew that, and we had the belief in them. Yeah, they were a little bit slow out of the blocks, but by God, they changed that around in no time, you know. And when they started to play, Armagh had no answer to us. Like, it was unbelievable. It was tit for tat the whole way up, but we always had the edge on them, you know. And that's a testament to the girls and the work rate that they put in. It was unreal.
And it was really tight in the end, only a point between you.
Only a point, yeah. And it was a bit controversial at the very end. When we came off the pitch, we were kind of told it was a draw, but we knew ourselves. We had the score taken, and it was a point ahead. But in fairness to all the officials, they had a little collaboration out in the middle of the pitch then afterwards and came back. It took them about 3 or 4 minutes, but it seemed like a lifetime while we were standing on the sideline, terrified of going back out again for extra time in that heat. But in fairness, the referee totted up the score and went, actually, no, Waterford, you're ahead. So that's when the celebration started.
Yeah, not the first time this week there's been controversy about a scoreline. Abby, Fiona mentions the heat. Like, how tough were conditions out there on Thursday night?
Like, when we went up on the bus, even the bus was hot. Like, the sun coming in the window would nearly burn you. But when we got off the bus, we were very relaxed. We were in the great mind space. And we kind of went down, Fiona was saying we should just walk around the field, just relax, get a kind of feel of the place. So we kind of walked around, we said we'll stay out of the sun. So we came up in the stand and the heat was just immense. We did the warm-up and we were good. We had a good warm-up, but the sweat was just coming straight off us. It was just, I've never felt heat like it. It's just savage. So good.
Who was cheering you on up in Dublin against Armagh?
We had, the amount of support that we had was, it's just insane. Like, the whole stand was just full, and like, when the final whistle went, we weren't really sure what was happening. We had, like, the ref was saying that it was a draw, and we were saying, geez, we're a point up, so we didn't really know. So we all went over to the stand, and the whole stand erupted saying that we were a point up. So that's the whole stand. It was just insane. When we called him for the ball, we couldn't hear a thing, but the stand just roaring. It was great. It was a real good atmosphere up there.
Yeah, were any members of your family up cheering you on?
Yeah, I actually, my aunt is home from Australia, so it was actually great to see her in the stand. First time she's seen me play now, so I was a bit nervous with her there, but my granny and my mum and dad and sister, so they were all there to support me. It was so nice. Yeah, so nice to see you.
That's absolutely brilliant. And like, Abby, like, when did you start training for this year's minor championship?
It was back in November. It was in the cold days of November and December. I'll never forget them. But it was just the early mornings and the late nights on a Wednesday, and it was just the coaches that just drove us on. Like, we did it for them, we did it for us, we did it for our families. So with the amount of training and the time that the managers have put in is just insane, and we're just so, so happy to have them as managers. To the pride that they have is just insane. I can't even describe it.
Can you tell us about some of those early morning sessions, Abby?
Oh God, a few of them are rough now, I won't lie, but 20 past 8 in Bohadoon. To be fair, we got there in the end, and every single one of us showed up on time, and we were out in the pitch, and Ravis was doing our running, and we did a bit of complaining, but we got there in the end.
Fiona, who is with you in terms of the management team with this Waterford minor squad this year?
Look, we have a great management team with plenty of experience there. We have Mike Guiry and Katrina Casey from Ballymacarbery, Noreen Welsh from St. Oliver's, or Noreen Kelly actually. And we have Ravis as well. So Ravis is Abbey side, and Ravis was with the minors last year, and he does all the fitness training. And then we have Hannah McHugh, who is St. Anne's, and she's our FLO. So, you know, it's great. I suppose the management team have gelled, and we get on really well, and we complement each other, and that's great. And I, you know, Abby mentioned family there, and I think it's really important that we acknowledge, I suppose, the clubs and the families of these girls that have nurtured them along the way as well, you know, and that's really important.
What sort of challenge awaits you now in the All-Ireland against Westmeath in a couple of weeks' time?
We're a little bit unsure. We haven't come up against Westmeath, but looking at their scoreline against Leitrim last night, I think they scored 11 goals, so they're well able to score. However, we have come across one or two of their matches on YouTube, so we'll be analysing those and analysing each of those players. So we'll do our research before we go up anyway, and that's all we can do, you know.
Abby, I mentioned there you're from the Nadesha Club. How much support are you getting from them?
Oh, like, it's insane. Like, all the WhatsApp messages from every single one of them is just so good. I met a few of the girls inside from Nadesha. They're all so proud of us. It's just insane. And, like, my father is the coach of Nadesha, and he's just has so much pride in us. And even at training there last night, they had a big shout out for us. And it's just so good. Like, we have a good few girls from the Nadesha, and it's just so happy to see us behind us, like.
Yeah, how excited are you now to line out in an All-Ireland final for Waterford?
It's an immense feeling. Like, I can't even describe it. Like, I can't wait to just get out there and just, we gel so well together that we can actually just play, and it proved yesterday that we can play so, so well together. It's just crazy. I can't wait.
Was ladies football always number one for you, Abby?
It was. Now, I was a dual player back in under-16s, but it was always the football at the end of the day. Like, even this year, I had a choice because, you know, coming into fifth year, it's a lot of work with school. So I said, I'm only doing one of them, and I had to choose the football. Like, it's just, it was always since day one, it was the football. Yeah, so I'm really happy with my decision this year.
Abby Fitzpatrick and Fiona Crotty-Laffin from the Waterford ladies football team. And Fiona, you have one more thing that you want to mention?
Oh, absolutely. I suppose, look, we all know it costs money to bring players to an All-Ireland final, and I'd urge everyone in Waterford to get behind these girls, because these girls have been juggling part-time work, leaving certs, some boyfriends as well sometimes, and training as well, and like the amount of effort and commitment that they have shown all year, it deserves support as well. So I suppose, and also we're going to be launching in the next couple of days a GoFundMe page as well. So look, every little helps.
Well, Fiona Crotty-Laffin and Abby Fitzpatrick from the Waterford minor ladies football team, thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Tomás.
Brilliant, thanks a million.
Lore Naporka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the 2025 Waterford Ladies Football Championships were launched at Lawler's Hotel in Dungarvan on Thursday night. Cumber Rangers captured their first ever senior title last year, ending Ballymacarbery's 42-year reign as county champions. Shortly, we'll hear from Cumber defender Trish Kelly. But first of all, I caught up with Waterford and Ballymacarbery attacker Aileen Wall. Well, Aileen was a late addition to the Daisha panel this summer, and I asked her firstly about last weekend's All-Ireland quarter-final loss to Galway.
Yeah, look, I suppose I was late to the party with Waterford this year, but just looking at the team, they were an amazing team. They had some amazing performances this year. They were fast, they were fit, they were ripping teams apart. I suppose they just weren't getting those decisions that they maybe deserved, I suppose, against Kerry in particular in the Munster final, and again against against Dublin in their group game. You know, both of those games should have been wins for them. So I suppose they went into the Galway game very positive, and you know, they knew what they could do, but I suppose Galway had a bit of firepower behind them that day, and they really shut down. They had a good bit of homework, I'd say, done on Waterford, and they did really shut down that fast-paced kicking the ball into the forwards quickly. You know, they cut out that, and they shut down that for Waterford, and they just couldn't get going. You know, that first 15 minutes in the game kind of killed them a bit, but look, they rallied again, and thankfully, you know, they did come back a bit, but I suppose there was just too much to do at that point.
You mentioned there you were late to the party this year, Aileen. Like, you came on against Leitrim in the All-Ireland series a little bit unexpectedly. Tomás McAteer kept it very, very quiet. How did that call-up come about?
Look, I suppose I've been there, done that over the years. I knew what goes on inside in a county setup, I suppose. But look, they lost a lot of players this year. I suppose losing the calibre of Kellyanne and Maeve, just from our own club actually, and a few went away on J1s and travelling as well. And look, there's no one that can replace them. But they called me back in just to see what I could offer to it, and I suppose I was able to offer a little bit anyway. And coming on there against Galway just to see what I could give to it, and I hope it was okay anyway.
What persuaded you to come back on board, Aileen? Because I think it was, you're 3 years away from the intercounty scene.
I suppose Karen McGrath is going to get a big the most blame here. She was a big factor in it, I suppose. I know a lot of the girls, and I suppose it was, she thought that maybe I was a good fit for what was going on inside there, and the style of play and stuff, that I would fit in with them. And they had a few, like I said, with the girls going away, and they had Laura Mulcahy return actually from Australia, which was a massive boost to them. So you know, they were open to players coming in and trying to make their panel maybe a bit stronger. So it was Karen's doing. Yeah.
Do you see yourself going back in 2026, Aileen? Because it has been like a positive year overall, and like the team have come very, very close to securing silverware, especially in that Munster final.
Look, that would be a very difficult decision, I think, for me to make again come I suppose December or January, when they do start getting themselves back together again. But it'll have to be something that I really think about very strongly. I'd say I'm probably at the end of my at the end of my time now, but look, you never know, you might be persuaded again.
As we know, Aileen, Cumber Rangers took away your county trophy last year in Fraherfield. How difficult was that defeat to take?
Yeah, look, it was very hard at the time. I suppose, you know, we fought for every title that we won. It was never a given. We never expected the title again the next year. You know, we were always just aiming for the one we were playing in. So it was very hard to take. And you know, I suppose you're looking on to Munster and stuff. Then that wasn't there for us this year. Those ambitions, I suppose, you know, we came from being in an All Ireland final as well. You know, so. You might think, God, could we get back there again? But you do have to get over your county final first. And, you know, fair dues to Cumber Rangers. They played an excellent game on the night, and they did very well in Munster as well last year. So fair play to them. But yeah, it was a hard one to take.
Who was on board with you in terms of the management team with the Bell McCarby ladies in 2025?
So yeah, we have Mike Guiry's at the helm again, and he's going to hopefully guide us along the way. And he has Katrina Casey, another excellent footballer who has done it all in terms of ladies football. So we've Katrina with us, and my sister Marie has been kind of taking a coaching role at the moment while she's working on her cruciate. But you never know, we might see her again on the field. But yeah, they're kind of trying to guide us along and hopefully get us to the right point where we need to be this year.
Yeah, it'll be great to see Mairead back on the field once again. Kellyanne Hogan, as we know, is away in Australia in the AFLW. How much are you going to miss her now for this upcoming club campaign, Aileen?
Oh God, massively. You know, she's a major player for us. Her speed, her physicality, her skill, she's really a player that has it all. And I suppose that's the main reason why they went and called her up. You know, she really does have it all. So look, she's going to be a major loss, but hopefully we can, you know, get a few of our young girls going and find a midfielder that might be able to rival Kellyanne. But yeah, look, we're going to just give it our all again this year, and you know, we've plenty of players that can hopefully step up and make a difference on our team.
Yeah, how determined are you to get your hands back on this county trophy, Aileen?
Oh, majorly. Yeah, majorly. It's you know, from the first time we meet this year, we were saying this: we have to get this trophy back. And I suppose it's taking a huge commitment from everybody. And in fairness, everybody's rowing in and doing their bit. but it is going to take a huge effort because Rathcormac really are, they're riding on the crest of a wave now at the minute, and it's going really well for them, and they have amazing players, so it's going to take a lot for us to dethrone them. But you know, I think it's in us, and we'll work away for another few weeks and another month or two, and we'll work away and see what we can do.
Aileen Wall, thanks a million for chatting to us this evening.
Thanks, Tomás.
Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So I'm here with Cumbria Rangers defender Trish Kelly at the launch of the 2025 Waterford Ladies Football Club Championships. First of all, Trish, no other place to start. Last year's county final against Ballymacarbery. What was it like for you as a player that night?
I suppose I still can't put into words the feelings that happened that night. Just utter joy and relief to finally get over the line. We'd been at so many years at it. I think it was 10 or 11 years losing in a row there. So to finally get over the line and to do it for the parish, the support we had in the night, the team, the backroom team, there's a huge panel there, to finally to be able to do it was just great.
What were the standout moments for you from that night in Farfield?
I suppose about the five goals going in, each one of them now were as good as the next. And then, yeah, just the defending in the second half, for me personally as a defender, we got some great tackles in and great turnovers there. Ballymac obviously had their purple patch at the start of the second half and came at us as we knew they would. But we stood strong and we held them out there for the last 20 minutes or so. We kept them scoreless, so that was probably the highlight for me as a defender.
How many years have you been playing for Cumbria Rangers?
Oh God, probably since 1999. I remember when the note came out in a primary school that they were setting up the club back in 1999, and I was only delighted because I had Irish dancing on at the same time on a Wednesday evening at 6:30, so I was only delighted I gave up the dancing and I went playing football straight away. So yeah, probably since then.
So you were on all those teams that had lost all those finals to Ballymacarbery over the years?
Yeah, even as a young one, I was probably about 12, 13 years old back in 2006 when we won the intermediate for the first time. So probably around since then, kind of knocking around since then. Here a few years away with college and travelling, but came back there kind of in about 2017, 2018. And I've been hitting the ground ever since.
Yeah, and who was there supporting you that night in Farfield to see you finally lift the County Cup?
All my family, really. So my mother and father, they've been with me since start, really. My mum driving me to county matches for years and years and years, all over the county and all over the country. So, and then other than that, just everybody in the parish. Then I had a lot of cousins and aunts and uncles and stuff there as well. So, yeah, it was great to have everybody around. We had a great turnout.
And you're back training already, ready for this year's club championship?
Yeah, we went back there kind of the end of February, start of March. We all kind of grouped together, and we've been trying to slogging away, training away. I suppose we have a lot of county players now, which is great, both in the Camogie and in the football. So, but we have a huge panel in the background there with both the senior and the intermediate. A lot of young girls coming through there with under 16 and minor. The minors have won the county final the last few years, so there's a great young bunch pushing us older crew on. So yeah, it's a massive, massive crew there at the moment.
Have you the same management team as last year?
Yeah, Jer is there again with his crew. No better man. He's the guiding light in it all, to be honest. With his great team around him, with Jer and Michael and Neil and Paddy and the whole crew there. So yeah, same crew in again this year.
Well, Trish Kelly, Cumbria Rangers defender, thanks a million for chatting to us this evening.
Thanks, Moss. Thank you.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of Lorna Parka. We'll keep you up to speed with all the club championship action over the weekend. Thanks a million for your company. As always, slán go fóill.
Lorna Parka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.